back on the Young Turks post game, okay, on a fascinating day. So we launched Rebel Headquarters. I'm immediately going to give you guys inside baseball and two fun facts about Rebel Headquarters. Mm-hmm. One was we were supposed to have a guest on, but we had a little miscommunication, all my fault, okay? And I really rushed to get Rebel Headquarters on the air. So I, you know, as Malcolm X ended his book, all the mistakes are mine, all praise be to Allah. Okay, and except in our case, all the mistakes are mine, all praise be to the production crew. anyway, and so I was like, oh, can I fill up 22 minutes? So of course, instead I went 27 minutes.
I'll give you more inside baseball. So you were freaking out because you're like, oh, I don't have enough topics. I don't know what you told Irina. But Irina told me that you were scrambling to find another topic to discuss. Uh-huh. And we both like just shook our heads and we're like, if you just started with no topics prepared, you would still go over. So I feel like there should be a rule, because it's a what, 27 minute show, 23 minute, I don't even know.
No, it's actually just 22 minutes, because remember in the, anyway, I don't want to get too deep into the rabbit hole of inside politics.
Because no one cares.
Inside baseball,
but for you, like you can talk about nonsense for 22 minutes straight. So you're not allowed to prepare more than one topic for that show. Like it's not allowed, it's banned.
Okay.
Old school.
I don't know, man. So well, right now I have no leg to stand on to refute your claims,
right,
given what has just happened.
You never
happened.
Will have a leg to stand on, because you prove us right time and time again.
So here's another part of the funny part of the story. Right before we got started, I got a little nervous. Like, what am I getting nervous about, right? But it's a new show, and we haven't done it before, and I only had three topics. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what if I run out of things to say?
You're crazy. You're insane.
Anyway, and then the other thing that happened was, for whatever reason, the camera's really close. Like, right now, the camera's far away from us, right? But in the new way we're shooting Rebel Headquarters, even though it doesn't look like it, the camera's really close to me. So right here at the edge of the desk, right? Mm-hmm. So it felt like all of a sudden like I'm a tiny bit nervous. And then there's a giant camera right in front of my face. But we were okay. We made it. It turns out I filled up the show.
It's weird. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
It's shocking.
Anyway, we hope we're going to have some great guests for you guys. I'm excited about the shows, you can tell. Okay, so now let's talk about the other stuff that I promised during the May show. So,
Jeanine Pirro?
Yeah, let's get Jeanine Pirro out of the way, because it's a little depressing. We didn't get a chance to talk about it in that evangelical woman story, but it goes towards the same point. So I briefly mentioned in another story that Pirro had done a segment about a purge at the FBI. And she even named names. These are the people who should not only be fired, but arrested. So that's what brown shirts do. They round up their political opponents and then they arrest them. And they wait to see if the country revolts. And if they don't, then they round up more people and they round up more people until there's no one left to oppose them, right? So Pirro is a diehard fascist. So I'm not hesitating in using that word at all anymore. These guys believe in fascism. That's what they want to do. That's what arresting your political opponents is. Right? Mm-hmm. And in this case, arresting people, in their case, it's not even political opponents. It's worse. Mm-hmm. It's people doing a legitimate investigation of the president. That's rounding up people who could hold you accountable. So then the first step is you're above the law. Mm-hmm. You just destroyed the rule of law. Then you go, and then she was ranting and raving about why haven't they arrested Clinton? That's rounding up your political opponents, right? So she's a full-blown lunatic. You know, we've shown you clips from the show. I hope you've never actually watched it, but you've seen the clips.
Yeah, she looks like she's on, like she acts as if she's on meth. Like,
yeah.
And I'm not just saying that, it's not a hyperbole. She's out of control.
Yeah, I actually think that it would be more comforting if I found out she was on meth.
Absolutely.
I'd be like, oh, well, that explains it.
Absolutely.
Right? But she's like, she's eyes wide open, right?
Yeah.
And like, let me tell you what's going on. We need to do the burning of me. I'm like, how does anyone not realize that they've let a lunatic on the air?
Yep.
First of all, on voice alone, and I don't mean just that her voice sounds like that.
Yeah.
The way she talks is maniacal.
Yeah.
Okay. And then let alone what she says, et cetera. But it gets to the more depressing topic of, 25% of this country, but to be fair, almost any country, is born to be fascist. They are authoritarian by nature. They don't believe in democracy. They believe, well, if you're opposed to us, we round you up by any means necessary. And if a strong man does that, we bound out of the strong man, and the strong man is great. And they just, they don't view that as the bug, they view that as the feature of a strong man. Mm-hmm. And so there is an unshakable 25% almost in any country that can't wait for someone to take charge and be authoritarian and destroy democracy. Mm-hmm. And ironically, in America here, those are the people who claim to be the most patriotic. Mm-hmm. Right? But in reality, they're the least patriotic. They don't even believe in our form of government. They don't believe in our Constitution. And that, look, that's why it's a little depressing. They're unshakable. So the good news is, I really believe they're only 25%. Now, obviously, we've got some evidence that they're 35%. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's why I'm a little wary of parliamentary systems. Turkey has the same 25%, right? And that's how Erdogan got elected. And he's just like Trump. He could shoot someone in the middle of Taksim Square, mm-hmm. okay, and totally get away with it. Mm-hmm. And that 25% will say, just like that guy said on CNN the other day about Trump, if Jesus came down and disagreed with him, I'd have to check with Trump first. Okay? And I guarantee you that's what those Turks who support Erdogan, the 25% that supports Netanyahu. They grow from that base, mm-hmm. and oftentimes, unfortunately, get to 51% or close enough to take power, and then God help us all.
Yeah.
And that's where we are today in America, and by the way, in Turkey, and Israel, and Russia, and the Philippines, mm-hmm. Arguably India, Myanmar, and the list Hungary, and the list goes on and on, mm-hmm. right? So we have to be eternally vigilant, because there'll always be a quarter of the country that can't wait for fascism. They're not like, oh, begrudgingly accepting it. Like the puros of the world, they can't wait to round their opponents up. They don't want to have a conversation. They just want to exercise power.
Yeah, I don't know what to add to this conversation other than I'm tired and I feel defeated. Like, you know, mm-hmm. And discouraged. Pretty much today's, I don't know why, for some reason it's like really hitting hard, but it's just things are bad. Things are really bad. And it's really hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. So
I want, like, there are days like today where I just want to give up.
Yeah.
You know?
Stay with me, sister. Stay strong, sister.
Yeah.
Okay? So look, here's the way out. And why we can't get discouraged today, because this is the most important time. People always say that before every like inconsequential election, mm-hmm. the presidential election, everyone will say on TV, this is the most important election of our life. Like Mitt Romney versus Barack Obama.
That was not the most important election. Come on.
I told you before the election, not the most important election. And it's of course important, and I'm glad Obama won instead of Romney. Okay, and Romney would have done giant tax cuts and tried to destroy Obamacare, as Trump is trying to do now. But the minute they win, they're all going to try to do that. Right, and they're going to win at some point. Mm-hmm. And Romney was not Trump. Romney was a standard establishment figure. Obama, establishment figure on the Democratic side. They even had the same health care plan, literally the same exact health care plan.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was not the most. This one was very important. I tried to explain that to folks before the election. Mm-hmm. The primaries were arguably the most important primaries we've ever had, mm-hmm. but the general election was still monumentally important because you can't let the fascists take over. Mm-hmm. And now they're here, and it doesn't get any more important than whether you want to call it resistance or revolution, and I'm in favor of revolution, not just against Trump, but against the establishment. But we got to fight right now to make sure they don't win. And luckily, when fascism came to America, yeah, it was cloaked in a flag and the cross, also cloaked in a total moron. Mm-hmm. So imagine if Trump was not as corrupt as he was and hadn't made a deal with the Russians. Mm-hmm. Then it'd be nearly impossible to get him out. And he'd have 4 years to spread the poison of fascism in America.
Oh, I think he's gonna have 4 years to spread the fascism, and I think he's gonna have full 8 years. I think tomorrow Roy Moore will get elected, and I think Trump will have two terms as president. I guarantee.
Man, you're in a pessimistic mood today.
No, and it's not.
No
by the way, that's not something that I just think today, because today happens to be one of my more pessimistic days. I've been saying that. I think he's untouchable. I think that they can prove that there was collusion. No. We'll see.
Okay. We will. Like, this is a great. First of all, let's agree that we both hope I'm right.
Of course, I hope you're right.
Usually, my predictions are so dire, and I always end with, "I hope I'm wrong."
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But in this case, look, he's not untouchable. He did it. Whatever it is, he did it, and then some. Probably 3-4 times worse than even you suspect, and you're a Young Turks member. Okay. I think that they're going to get him out, and then Pence will try to do worse policy wise, but we'll fight him, and he's a terrible politician. And it's not. I'm not just saying that. I'm trying to help make it happen. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get the Justice Democrats. We're trying to get money out of politics, and I believe that all those things can converge and get us unbelievable, historic, positive results in 2020. But we all got to fight together to make that happen. And believe me, I take a lot of shit for that. Everybody in the media thinks it's unacceptable. That's part of why they don't cover us. They're like, oh, you guys actually want to change things. Mm-hmm. That's horrible. You guys are ruffians, and we don't accept your way of doing news or media. So, but we're trying for you guys. Okay. And for everybody. All right. Now, let's upbeat stuff.
Okay.
End on upbeat stuff. So, over the weekend, I saw Coco. Partly because you all were going nuts in the studio. Not you, Anna, but Edwin and others were like, oh, Coco, you got to see it. So, I was like, all right, let's take the kids to Coco. And it turns out they were right. It's a great movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, my mom came out and was like, Oscar. Not for kids movies. No. Oscar, period. Uh-huh. Okay, best movie of the year, no question.
Uh-huh.
Like, to be fair, she sees like 3 movies a year. But still, okay. And then it's an emotional movie, right? So, who are we kidding? I cried like a baby at that.
Really?
Yeah, oh my God. I'm sitting next to my 2 kids, I'm in between the 2 kids. So, I'm trying not to let on, because like, it's almost going to get audible. Then I know my mom. There was crowded theater, so my mom and dad had to sit on the other side of the theater. And they came up, and I'm like, "How much did you cry?" She's like, "Oh, weeping, right?" And then she asked my dad. My dad's like, "What? It's a kids' movie. Why would I cry?" People are funny. So it's about family.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that I wondered. So I'm not going to do any spoilers because I actually want you to see it and enjoy it. But I'll tell you the plot of the movie. Not even get into details there. Certainly don't want to give anything away. But it's about the Day of the Dead in Mexican tradition, right? You're supposed to put up the pictures of your deceased family members, so you remember them. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, their ghosts or skeletons or whatever actually come back, right, on the Day of the Dead and visit them, right? Just like the mythology, says. And so it's a lot of talk about people who've passed away and the memories. That's why it's really emotional, right? Mm-hmm. And how they wanted to see their kids one more time, stuff like that, right? And I wondered walking out, I mean, does a alt-right guy watch that movie, but because it's about Latinos, think, oh, there's some liberal Hollywood bullshit propaganda. Or do they have human reactions? Do they watch the movie, and even though the guys in the movie are named Miguel and Ernesto and Hector, do they go, were they touched? Mm-hmm. Could they relate to themselves? Could they relate to their kids, their grandparents? I'm deeply curious, and I don't know. Right?
Yeah, I don't know either. What I do know is that they very clearly lack empathy. So, I mean, I feel like if they can't put themselves in anyone else's shoes. Mm-hmm. Like if something negatively impacts them, then they feel something. There was this one alt-right guy slash conspiracy theorist who was complaining about people attacking his wife. He was on Twitter complaining about this, I think over the weekend. And I just thought it was interesting because this is also, that's the kind of tactic he utilizes.
Yeah.
All the time.
They attack my wife.
All the time. And so it's like, are you that dumb? Are you dumb? Like you can't connect the dots there and realize you do that shit. By the way, I don't think anyone's wife should be attacked or anything like that. So anyone who's attacking his wife, you know, I don't condone that in any way. But at the same time, like they're just unable to put themselves in other people's shoes. When they're doing disgusting shit to other people, they think it's totally fine. When it happens to them, they're like, I can't believe it. They're attacking my wife.
No, they really might be. I'm sure there's
sociopaths.
Sociopaths.
Yeah.
There's different gradations of it, of course, right? So they're presumably not going out and killing people, but they really, I think they cannot relate to other human beings. They just don't care about them. And for us, that's bewildering.
Yeah.
Like we can't wrap our heads around it. We keep waiting for them to have a human reaction where they empathize with a fellow human being.
Yeah.
But they might not be capable of it.
Yeah. I think the hardest realization since the election, during the election, all of that was just I had to come to the realization that no, there aren't just like a few bad people out there. There's a lot of bad people out there, right? They're not all murderers, they're not all rapists, but there's a lot of bad people out there who wish harm on a lot of innocent people. And like when you look at just the sheer numbers, like you talk about the fascists, 35% who are still, you know, in favor of Trump. I don't get it. Like how I just don't get it. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that discourages me the most.
Yeah. And so, you know, the Republicans used to call it the moral majority. But I think in reality, it's the immoral minority.
Mm-hmm.
The polite way to look at it, and I think also true, is that they just have a different conception of us. So we view us as all of us, human beings, right? Not even just Americans. But when I see somebody in Bangladesh suffering, I feel terrible about that. They think, don't give a fuck. Not us, not interested, no empathy. In fact, I want to build a wall. I'm different skin color, different religion, I'm scared. Just keep them away from us, right? Okay, one way to look at it, but they're good to the people they consider us, their family members, their church, etc., right? One way to look at that is, okay, well, then we have to broaden their definition of us. And that's the kind way of looking at it. And it's true, that part is true. It's also true that they're worse people than we are. Okay, so now that's like considered controversial. But if you don't view other human beings as part of us and want to attack them or build walls, etc., and you can't empathize with another human being, yeah, that's worse. That's not as good.
Yeah.
I wish you could empathize with more people. If you can't empathize with someone else because they're in a different religion, there's something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't empathize with someone because they have different skin tone than you, there's something wrong with you, right? And so I know they don't see it that way, but and some of their circles are so tight as to what is us, it's just them.
Yeah.
And probably the perfect example is Trump himself. There is no one outside of him for us. Maybe Ivanka a little bit. Like even his sons, he thinks they're idiot knuckleheads.
Yeah.
Man, imagine how stupid they are for him to think
that. For Trump to think that.
Yeah. Okay. And he's like, they're in us a little bit. They have to earn their way a little bit more. And you know what it does? It produces monstrous effects. And I know, I'm sorry, I got back into the best. Okay. But we elected the worst of the worst.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Yeah, and
John and I were talking about it today, things ended up worse than we thought it would. Like we knew it was bad after he got elected, but things have actually turned out worse than we had expected.
Look, we fought like hell during the primaries, and I also took a lot of shit for opening for Bernie in the rallies. Oh, well, you've lost all credibility. How about all you fuckers that supported Hillary on TV, and it was super fucking obvious, except you'd lie about it. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm neutral. Paul Begala, you're neutral? Fuck off. Okay, to be fair to Begala, he might not have even pretended. Mm-hmm. But everyone else pretended. Who do you think Anderson Cooper voted for? Come on. Does anyone think that Anderson Cooper voted for anyone but Hillary Clinton? Okay?
Yeah.
But it's not to pick on Anderson. All of them. All of them.
And by the way, their own political leanings, I don't really care that much about that. Yes, it's annoying that they pretend like they're completely like objective and they don't have any political thoughts. But what really got to me was the fact that they're one of the main reasons why someone like Trump got elected.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, cutting away from the Democratic primary debates to show Trump's empty podium, like giving Trump all this free airtime, they created that monster. The head of news at CBS, Moonves, right? Talking about how Trump's great for ratings. Fuck you, Trump's great for ratings. Fuck your ratings, fuck CBS, fuck all of that, right? What about what's good for the country? Look, Trump, I guess good for our ratings too, but I don't care. I don't care.
But it's also bullshit. You know who got more views, and by the end of the primaries, the media started acknowledging this. Bernie Sanders got even more views than Donald Trump, okay? But they still wouldn't cover him. So it wasn't about the ratings,
yeah,
right? So Donald Trump got $2 billion of free media just in the primaries alone. Bernie Sanders got almost nothing.
Yeah.
For that story that ironically Media Matters did still haunts me. It was like ABC News, which normally is among the best of them, gave him like 15 seconds of airtime on evening news in all of 2015 as he was closing a 60-point lead, as he was doing one of the most historic primary competitions in the history of American politics. 15 seconds, right? And they gave Trump $2 billion in free media. Yeah. And then they have the fucking audacity to blame Bernie Sanders supporters. We tried to warn you guys. Anyway, but then in the general election, and some folks get mad at me for this, but I did know it was going to be this bad. I did warn you. Look, lesser of two evils. How many times did I say it's still lesser, mm-hmm. not more? The greater of two evils is really, really fucking evil. And that's where we are right now. And so I did that video saying that you hold your nose and vote for Hillary because Donald Trump is that bad.
And
I was right. He is that bad.
And also, the argument that Trump would be so terrible that people would be ready for a revolution, they would want to go in the complete opposite direction, I'm not buying that. Because I think what Trump has done is he's made us so desensitized to just typical shitty Republicans like Mike Pence, right? Like Jeff Flake. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden you're like, oh, Jeff Flake doesn't sound so bad. Like, is that what we wanted? Really? Jeff fucking Flake? Like we're applauding him because he's speaking out against someone as terrible as Trump? Yeah. So that's where we're at. And that concerns me too, because I don't see this turning into a bunch of people wanting the complete opposite and wanting a revolution. I see this as people becoming so desensitized to the average shitty Republican that they're like, I don't know, that person looks a lot more desirable than the Trump type.
So look, Trump being this bad, that's why I kept saying on election night, as a lot of you guys remember, race for impact, right? This is impact. Mm-hmm. Because we talked about, no, he's going to get us out of the Paris Treaty. Climate change, we're going to set the clock back 4 years, and we can't afford 4 years. And here we are in Los Angeles in the middle of the fire, literally. Mm-hmm. Jerusalem lit it on fire. Right now, there's the Middle East is on fire, Donald yeah. Trump. We go on and on and on, right? So I said it was going to be this bad. Now, in terms of, again, back to our pessimism, optimism. Yeah. I hear what you're saying about the desensitized to Jeff Flake, and it's a perfectly great point. And what will happen, my guess is what will happen is once Trump, if I'm right, and Trump is somehow ridden out of office, right? And you know my theories on how that's going to happen. Then Mike Pence will be president, and all of TV will immediately go, hooray, we're back to normal. Mike Pence is wonderful, right? Now, that's, in my opinion, that's when the revolution begins. Mm-hmm. We're at resistance. At Pence, we begin the revolution. Mm-hmm. Because all the rest of us are not going to be like, yay, Pence. So when the Wolf Blitzers of the world say, yay, Pence, in essence, I think a lot of people are going to be like, fuck that. And again, we're going to have the split between the mainstream television media and actual human beings in the country. So we'll see. We'll see if I'm right. But I usually am. anyway, it was supposed to be a lighthearted conversation about Coco. Sorry. Go watch it. I think it's great. You should definitely watch it.
Yeah, I'm going to see it now.
And super last interesting roundabout topic on that is, that's why I actually believe in multiculturalism and, yes, to some degree assimilation. Okay, so don't get it twisted. Let me explain. Like, so some people who say, "Hey, don't appropriate my culture." No, that's what the great side of America got to be great by assimilating, appropriating. I don't know how you want to phrase it, right?
By being influenced by
by all the different cultures. It's great that we're influenced by the culture of the Day of the Dead, right? When I first heard about it, I was like, oh, that sounds kind of creepy. I'm keeping it real, right? I'm not into skeletons and ghosts, I don't know, it's kind of weird, right? But when you figure out what it is and you look into it and you understand the reverence of those ancestors in that way and their memories, well, you know me, I'm a nostalgic dude. I'm like, oh, I love this.
Yeah.
So it makes me want to do the great parts of Mexican culture, as it makes me want to do the great parts of Jewish culture and Italian culture and, yes, Turkish and Armenian culture, right? Mm-hmm. And all the other things that we've done. I know I was going to list all the food examples because I'm obsessed with food. But there are other great things as well. And finally, one more note on macro issues related to Coco. Liberal Hollywood, not so bad.
Yeah.
Tells you that you should care about your ancestors, your family members, that family's important, but you should also fight for your dreams. Wow, liberal Hollywood, so bad. And in the movies, the good guys always win. I wish it were so in real life.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I'll take liberal Hollywood any day. All right, guys, much love. We'll see you tomorrow.